Other than, all of a sudden, Pennsylvania and all these, the numbers were changing. And I think at that point, we were thinking, what's going on here? Friends, I want you to know one thing. There is no doubt whatsoever, and I think we all can agree on this. There is no doubt this election was rigged. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that if they go ahead and certify him, there's no doubt that this election was stolen from him. Okay? I don't question any of that. So we prayed 5 weeks prior to that. We stormed heaven and we were praying out, God, give us 4 more years. Give us 4 more years. And so in the midst of all that, I'm wondering to myself, wait a minute, was this the will of the people or was it the will of God? See, so many times we pray out of the will of God. So many times we have the way that we want God to perform what it is that we're praying for. God, we want this, we want this, we want this. And when we don't get any of that, then we finally realize, oh, okay, that wasn't God's will. The way the direction he's taking me, now it's God's will. There's a lot that is brewing in my spirit right now, this past week. There's so much that is brewing that there's no doubt, there's no question that what's brewing in my spirit, friends, and I want you to know that I'm spending my time in the presence of God and wanting to hear the voice, but what's brewing in my spirit is for the future that I can't speak out right now. If you recall, a few weeks or a few months ago, one of the things that I stood behind here and I said to you, and I said it over and over and again, is brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. I'll go a step further. Several months ago, I came in on a Monday morning. I went directly to my office and I began to read some of the news. And as I was reading some of the news of the Republicans that were going against Trump, I realized, and I don't know that I realized it, I believe the Lord brought clarity to me, the depth of the, how deep the goodness, help me, Lord. How deep the swamp is. Trump has done an amazing job in 4 years to try to drain the swamp. And you know what? He's drained a lot of it. But it goes so much deeper. And when that happened, something came over me. It's as if the Spirit of God said to me, brace yourself, because America, you're not going to like this, America will become a socialist country. I shared that on a Wednesday night. See, Trump can't drain the swamp. He can't drain it. He tried for 4 years. And he drained a lot of it. But it seems like some of his loyal supporters, Bolton, who would have ever thought? Okay. That was just one of the latest. Who would have ever thought? Michael Steele. You might say, who is Michael Steele? He was the Republican chairman a few years ago. And he turned his back. And we're finding more and more that they're turning their back on him. I know that most of you saw that big rally in Washington yesterday. thousands. They said a million. They said a million people were there. And it sure seemed like. And he drives through it, and he's just with a thumbs up, appreciating the support that he got. I think it's been a week later. Most of us are beginning to understand, begin to accept. I know we haven't thrown in the towel yet.
Never.
We haven't. I understand that. But it's not his final words that we have to listen to. It's God's final words. That's his final words. Okay.
It's not over yet.
Friends, we need to face reality.
The 2000 election lasted for over a month.
I understand that, but we need to face reality. Okay? We need to face it, guys. I will continue to pray. I will pray until it is certified. Okay? And the truth of the matter is that we're hearing that at this point there's no way of overturning it, but again, it's the media. It's the media. Can we trust this? Okay, can we trust it? We can't trust it. So my challenge last week was, and I'm gonna lift it from you guys, but I'm gonna place it on myself, okay? My challenge was, and I'm gonna do this for the next 40 days. I'm done listening to the media. I'm done listening to the news. I'm done listening to getting on the internet. I'm done Googling, because you can Google anything you want in there and get the results that you want. I'm done with that. Friends, I'm done with Jonathan Cahn. I'm done with Intercessors for America. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, guys. Don't get me wrong. Jonathan Cahn's doing a great job. Okay, I'm not saying he's a false prophet. I'm not saying that at all. Intercessors for America, they're doing a great job. I'm not saying that they're false. I'm done with them. Why am I done with them? Because every time I wanted to hear a voice, it was easy to Google something or go on to Intercessors for America or see what Jonathan Cahn was talking about. It was easy, and I failed God. I failed God. It's easier to listen to what they're saying than it is to hear the word of God and to hear what God is saying to me. The church has failed God because we have put other gods before him. And the reality of it is this, guys, listen to me. 4 years we had Trump, and what did the church do? What did the church do in those 4 years? I'll tell you what we did. We got on the cruise ship. We got on the lawn chair there by the pool. We put our hands behind our back and we say, we're going to cruise along. Did we evangelize? Was there an increase of Bible study? Was there an increase of prayer? Was there an increase of people walking and knocking down the doors and saying, we want more of God? No! It didn't happen. But what happened these last few months during the election, and we knew what we were up against? All of a sudden, the church, oh, we need to wake up. So guys, let me tell you this. If God gives us 4 more years of Trump, what is the church going to do? What is the church going to do if we have 4 more years of Trump? You know what? Our religious freedoms are what we have. You know why we have them? Because Trump fought for them. And I'm going to give you some stuff that you might not like, but we need to look at this and face reality. You know what? We have some missionaries, Bud and Tara, that are fighting for abortion or against abortion. And of all the rallies and all the things, the protests, of all that they have, out of all of those, how many were we involved in? Where was the church? We had that celebration of life at the cemetery. Thomas was there. Marianne, myself, and Jim and Joyce were there. Marshall and Irene were there. We had a pretty good show for the church, but I would say there was probably 60 or 70 in that cemetery. Where were the other thousands? Where were the other thousands crying out? Where were they? So who's fighting for us? It's Trump that fought for us. Our Second Amendment. Who's fighting for us if it's not Trump? And so how often as a church or as an individual, when we hear of these rallies or we hear of these gatherings, how often do we push away from whatever we're doing and we go and be a part of that? Where's the church, guys? Now, if you'd like, after I'm done with this service, we have a board meeting this afternoon. You're more than welcome to join the board meeting and say, you know what? I think it's time we get a new pastor. Because I'm willing to step down if I'm not doing the will of God. If what I'm saying is too harsh and you say, you know what? We need someone better. I will step down. Because that's where the church is at. Now, let me give you the other scenario. We all know. I might get to the message, but I think this needs to be heard. On Wednesday, there was 10 of us that got together for prayer. And we went in and prayed, but we used it more of a therapy session for all of us because we were hurting. I wanted 4 more years. I want 4 more years. I really do. But not if we're going to be in the same condition that we were the last 4 years. So, if the election and what we knew what we were up against, it brought out people to pray. And I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you that not just here in New Mexico, I'm telling you across the United States of America, prayer was raised up. I don't think I've ever seen a movement of prayer like we saw in the last few months because of the election. So there's no doubt, that when we face times like that, that the people of the church wake up and say, we need to do something, because we saw it here. So let me give you the other side. We all know that the left is very deceptive, they're very deceiving, they're lying. And we know that if he is certified and he becomes the next president of the United States, we know what's going to happen to America. It's going to change, and it will not be the America that we were born into and that we were raised up in. I want you to know that the progressives are going to move forward with their agenda, and they're going to push everything that they possibly can. And friends, let me tell you one more thing, because last Sunday there was an immediate check in my spirit. After we were done, and Bob was back there, and he was doing what he had to do with a computer, and at one point, he came across this thing that was talking about the Senate race in Georgia, okay? And I told Bob, I says, oh, no, we need to win that. We need to win that. And there was a check in my spirit immediately. And you know what the check in my spirit was? It was God saying to me, well, what do? You're trusting in the Senate, or are you trusting in me? And it is up in the balance right now. Friends, I want you to know, it does not look good that lady, can't remember her name, but when they have the runoff, it does not look good. And it appears to me right now it's going to be 50-50. And you know who does a tiebreaker is Kamala Harris. And if that happens, you know they're going to pack the court. You know they're going to change the Electoral College. You know that they're going to go after our gun rights. You know they're going to push for abortion. We know all this. And so how are we prepared for that? Or are we prepared for that? Are we prepared for that? See, what we've been through these last few months is nothing compared to once they certify him as a president, all hell is going to break loose in the United States of America. There you go. It's all lining up, guys. It's all lining up. I hate to be the bearer of these news, but this is where we're at. This is where we're at. So what do? We lay down in defeat? Absolutely not. We dig deeper. We get into the Word. We get into prayer. We join fellow men and women, and we start getting together and just building ourselves up in the Word and spiritually. We come together, and we start letting God begin to move in us. And now here's the word that God put into my spirit earlier in the week, and the word is trust. Trust. Trust simply means one in which we confide in or we have confidence in. One that we put confidence in, we put our place. One that we our dependence is on. That's what trust is. One that we rely on. Trust. And it's interesting that we put that word in my spirit today because right now, it's hard to trust anyone. We can't even trust our elections. Trust is a very difficult issue for us right now. So, of course, with that word trust, where do you suppose I'm going? Proverbs 3, verse 5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with what? With how much? All of our heart. He says, love the Lord your God with 50% of your heart. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That word all, and this is where I believe that God is speaking to me, is that unfortunately, we have not put our full trust in him. We're putting our trust in other things besides him. The internet, the prophets, organizations. We're putting our trust in all that. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what does he say next? He says, lean not on your own understanding. So, if we're honest with ourselves, and maybe I was the only one, I was leaning on my own understanding when I even stood behind this pulpit prior to the election, and I said, I am declaring our president 4 more years, and I based that on what? I based it on the huge rallies that he had. I based that on the parades that he had, that one in Arizona that was 96 miles long, and I said, how in the world could he possibly lose? Well, I think we all know the truth. He didn't lose. But I based it on all that. I based it on my own understanding. What I saw with my eyes. I'm thinking, wow, there's just no possible way. He says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I think that what we fail, friends, when we are praying is we were praying 4 more years. But did we ever pray, God, your will. Your will. And I think that deep down inside, we felt that, well, you know what? If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for God. So this is my will, and it's going to be his will. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let me give you a couple of other verses of scripture. Psalms 18 and 2 says, the Lord is my rock. He's what? He's our rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. So what does that mean? That means that if for some reason we begin to see this nation turn communist, who's going to be our rock? It's him. I put my trust in him. It says he's my fortress. What does that mean? He's built a fort around me. Friends, I don't care what this next president brings. I don't care what Michelle Lujan Grisham brings. Let me stop right there for a little bit, though. Boy, I'm going to get myself in trouble, and I might have everybody at the board meeting and say, you know what, let's get us a new pastor. Take this one and hang him. I say this with all respect. I say it all with all respect. This coronavirus has a grip on the Christians like you would never believe. It's got us so tight. There's some people who refuse to come to church because all of a sudden we're seeing 1,500, 2,000 cases a day. I don't care if they have 10,000 cases a day. Amen. Amen. And I think the sooner we accept the fact that every one of us at some point, vaccine or no vaccine, every one of us are going to get coronavirus at some point. Unless you put yourself in a bubble and don't come out of it forever and forever. That's the only way you're going to protect yourself. Build yourself a bubble and live in that bubble and don't ever come out of that bubble. And I don't know how they're going to deliver your food because, friends, the fear, and unfortunately, Bob mentioned to it, Casey, we're under lockdown again. As of tomorrow, we're under lockdown again. Have you bought your toilet paper?
Yes, there isn't any.
Have you bought your waters? Have you gone to the store and bought your meats because, oh no, you know what? We're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. Where is our trust? What are we believing in? Oh my. Do we really believe that he's our rock? Do we really believe he's our fortress? He's our deliverer? My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and he's my high tower. Do we believe that? Can we put our trust in that? Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all those who trust in him. Psalms 20, verses 7, 8, and 9 says, in fact, I need to go over there, Psalms 20. He says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Why have we risen and stood up? It's because we have put our trust in God. But he says, some trust in chariots. Who do you put your trust in? Do you put your trust in the government? Do you put your trust in your bank account? Do you put your trust in your cupboard? Or who do you put your trust? Because if you put your trust in all of these things, friends, they're going to fall. But if we put our trust in God, we're the ones that are going to be raised up. Psalms 25, verse 2, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not mine enemies triumph over me. That's a song, isn't it? First Kings. Seventeenth chapter. Starting with verse 1, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. You talk about someone that trusted God. Was Elijah. He tells them, go do this. And he does that. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evenings, and he drank from the brook. It happened while that brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. We know the story. He goes and he says to her, make me something to eat. And the lady says, I barely have enough for meat and my son. And so she goes ahead and she does that. And what happens to the son? Eventually he dies. And what does Elijah do when the lady comes back? Wait a minute. I gave you something to eat. And now my son has died because of that. And so what does Elijah do? He says, go take me to your son. And so he goes up there and there is the child and he's dead. And so what does Elijah do? He lies on him three times. And what happens to the child? He's alive. Why? Because Elijah has trusted. He's put his trust in God. He's not leaning on his own understanding. He's acknowledging all of the ways of God. And so therefore, God is performing one thing after another, just showing him, look, if you put your trust in me, I'm going to follow through with my part. I know we all say God's on the throne, and friends, he is. He's still on the throne. God is in control of everything that's going on right now. And all he wants from his people is to trust him. Don't trust anything else. Don't put your trust in chariots and horses or anything else. Don't put your trust in the government. Do you know how many churches are shutting down because of the latest restrictions? Because the restriction is 75 or less. Mega churches can't live up by the 75 or 25%. Friends, I want you to know right now, we're over the 25% with what we have here and on the other side. We're over the 25%. What would we do if MLG walked in the back door and she says, excuse me, church, but you guys are not complying with my orders? What would we do? I would hope that every one of us would stand up and say, I'm sorry, MLG, but we're going to defy your orders because we have the First Amendment. We have every right to assemble and to have a religious meeting and then to worship God. Did you know? Some of you may know this guy, Sean Fewitt. Sean Fewitt has developed an organization. It's called Let Us Worship. And he started, I believe, in the West Coast, and he's going all over, and he's bringing thousands and thousands of people, and they're wearing their T-shirts, let us worship. Why? Because the government is trying to shut us down and say, you can't worship. And so he's going around, and he's raising thousands of people are just going, and then they're worshiping. And I believe it's in Louisiana that he's attempting to go next. And they told him, you need a permit. And Sean Fewitt says, wait a minute, I don't need a permit because this is a protest. And as far as a protest, we don't need permits. Friends, they're trying to shut him down. Why? Because he's simply gathering people to worship God. So this is where we're at today. So what do we put our trust in? Do we put our trust in chariots or horses? Or do we put our trust in God that if for some reason some official walks in here and says, we're going to shut you down, and then we would say, no, you're not. And friends, here's the kicker. So if we defy the order, they're going to fine us $5,000. We're protesting. You're absolutely right. That's it. Yeah, but we're more than 25%. So $5,000. And So if they don't get you for one way, they'll get you another. And we're thinking, gosh, $5,000. I would hope. I mean, if they fine us a few times, we can pay the $5,000 fine. We're good. I'll pay the fine. Well, the church will pay the fine. No, I guess we shouldn't pay the fine. No, maybe not. Okay, we won't pay it then. Thank you, Thomas. We won't pay it.
We'll pay ourselves to the fence.
The bottom line, guys, is where do we stand? If the virus has already got a grip on the majority of Christians, where I understand, guys, that the virus is real. Okay, I will not deny that it's real. I've had 4 family members that have had it. They got through it. Okay, they got through it. For those of you that didn't know this, Don Gibson tested positive. He's in a nursing facility, and to this day, he's getting through it. Our president, he got the virus and he came out stronger than ever. So, friends, I don't deny that it's real. And I respect the mask. I respect the social distancing. I respect the washing of the hands. I respect all that. I think God wants us to use wisdom in that area. But to the point that they're telling you, you can't do this and you can't do that, that's where we draw the line. Where was I? The kid, Elijah, let me get to the point here. 18th verse. It came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go present yourself to Ahab. Okay, he goes. Let me just go move further, okay? We see what happens here, okay? There's those Jewish people that are, they don't know which way to stand. They don't know what side to stand on. They don't know which God to serve. And I think Elijah puts on a pretty good demonstration of the real God when he calls heaven, when he calls fire from heaven, and it just devours that altar. Boy, wouldn't it be great if he did that today also? Amen. If he just sent forth fire on these altars that have been defiled, and in all this these abominations that are going on in the church, that he would just send fire and just toast all of them. So Elijah, he had a pretty good presentation of the power of God. You all know the story. But here's the key word that I want to share with you this morning. It's if I'm in the 21st, the 20th verse. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel. They gathered at the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And listen to what Elijah says. He came to all the people and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people, what? The people answered him not a word. What does that mean? They faltered between two opinions. They did a little dance. They danced over with this God. Then they dance over to this God and say, ooh, ooh. They just didn't know. They didn't know what side to stand on. I want to ask you a question. I want you to examine your own life. Hallelujah. What have you put before you as a God, and that you're dancing from that to this, to that, to this? What are you faltering around? I'm asking me the same question, guys. There was a time that I was so sold out to God. Man, I'd come into his presence and I would begin to pray, and there was a move of God's spirit in mine, and I would just cry before him. I'd walk out of the house and my whole desire was to honor him and to please him and just to live for him. And that just was a way of life for me. And I can say that even early on, when we founded this church, when we opened it up, and in so much of it, if you remember, my phrase that I used back then was failure is not an option. I knew just like Moses, I knew that in order to put this in place, there was no way I could do it on my own. Now, granted, it hasn't grown to be 10, 15,000, but it doesn't matter. Every life matters to God. And as a pastor, you have to be there to pastor that person. Bring them to the knowledge of who Christ is. And early on, I can remember I would come and I would just cry out to God. And I wasn't satisfied until there was a move of the Holy Spirit in my spirit. And I was just there, just crying out to God. You know, back in the day, we had the, what do you call it? The concordance that was about this thick and that big. The concordance. This was our manner, our way of finding out the definitions of words or getting commentaries was to look at the Strong's concordance. You know what? It took effort. You'd have to flip through there. And guess what? The internet was born. And now the internet is born, and now you don't have to flip through all those pages. Now you go to Google and you just put in their trust. And it'll take you to every scripture. It'll give you every definition. And friends, I became lazy. I became lazy. Matthew Henry, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday, A.W. Tozer. These were some of the commentaries that I would dig into to read and to try to understand. I became lazy. I stopped hearing from God, and I started listening. And I made the computer, I made my phone, I turned it into a god. I listened to Rush Limbaugh, listened to Sean Hannity and to Tucker Carlson. I listened to all these guys, and these guys became my gods. I was listening more to what they had to say than to what God had to say. I was faltering. I was dancing between Sean Hannity. I was dancing between Rush Limbaugh, and I was dancing before the Word of God, and God is saying, how long will you be between two opinions? Either follow God, follow me, or follow Tucker Carlson. We have become a lazy generation that we have a hard time spending time in God's presence to hear a fresh word from Him. Let me close with this. Joshua. Joshua. Where art thou, Joshua? Where art? What happened to Joshua? Yeah, I know. Somebody moved him. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, it says, verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham. What do we know about this guy? He worshipped false gods, other gods. He was an idol worshiper, okay? Now, someone said that Abraham, from a very young age, had a heart for God and a fear for God, and never really paid a whole lot of attention to his father and all the things that he did. Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt in the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. What is his biggest commandment? Thou shalt have what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you know that there's times that we don't even realize that we've made gods out of certain things in our lives? Or either we do know and we refuse to accept it and say, well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's my God. I love my grandkids. I love them to death. And we can make gods out of our grandkids. I love my son. I love him to death. I love my daughter, but I can make gods out of them as well. I love my wife. I love her to death. But she can become a god. I can place her before God and just, man, I'll tell you, we enjoy so much being together. The campouts. I mean, we don't go anywhere with apart from each other. And if we do, we feel funny because where's my other half? It's just, it's weird. We become so attached. So attached. Vehicles, houses, bank accounts. So many things that we can, without even realizing, we've made gods out of them. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the lands of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and Esau I gave the mountains to Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Anyway, he goes through the whole history of what where they were. Let me move down. Start with verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side. I think that's what God is saying to America. Put those gods away. Put them away. Get rid of them. He's saying, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And I love verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, as far as I'm concerned, for me and my house, I'm going to serve my Lord. And so friends, I know it's not over till it's over. I know we're praying. I know we're praying. And we're hoping. But if we truly believe that the rapture is going to take place in the next few years, and God has to get his bride ready, what does he say? He's coming back for his bride that is what? That is without blemish. That is without spot or without wrinkle. If he's truly going to get his church ready, and friends, we're not there yet. We have a long ways to go there. But the only way he can get his bride ready is to put us through a harder trials, tribulation, and suffering. That will not come under Trump. That will come under Biden. That will happen under Biden. Okay? Now, my hope is this, that on, what is it, January 5th or 6th, whenever, December 5th, when they certify this election, and if it turns out that Biden is the president, I hope that you're so angry inside of you that you're going to say, you know what, devil? I'm going to pray more. You know what, devil? I'm going to read more. You know what? I'm going to go out into the highways and the byways, and I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. What's going to happen if we find that out? Or we're going to sit back and say, I wanted Trump. You going to sit there and cry? I've done all my crying. I'm facing reality and I'm preparing for it. I'm preparing. Put on the full armor of God. Put it on. Put on that warrior paint. Strap up your boots and say, devil, we're coming after you. You haven't won this battle. I'm waiting for the day that my God is going to throw you into the bottomless pit and never, ever, ever to show up your ugly face again. And I hope, hear me carefully. You might want to turn the camera off right now, but hear me carefully. I hope Schumer, Pelosi, and all these others, the AOC and the three, I hope all these, and this may sound harsh, but I hope all of these surrender their lives to God before, because if not, they're going to find themselves in that lake of fire with Satan himself. What I'm simply saying, guys, is between now and then, yes, we continue to pray, we believe, but prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Because the church is about to get wild. This church, we're about to get wild. You think we stormed heaven a couple of weeks ago? We're going to storm heaven even more. Hallelujah. The saints are going to rise up. And they're going to say, we're ready for this. We're ready for it. So guys, lift your heads up. Lift your heads up. Okay? He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. In whom do we trust? In God we trust. Hallelujah. And so let everything else change. But we're going to be stronger than ever. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, again, the board meeting's at 1 o'clock. You can vote at about 1:30. And you can say to the board, let's find us a new pastor. Father, we love you. Stand with me. Stand with me right now. Father, we love you. Just begin to tell him how much you love him. Come on, just let him know we love you. We desire you. We trust in you. We put our trust in you, God. You're going to get us through this. You're going to be our deliverer. You're going to be our fortress, our high tower. That's who you are, Father. God, you're going to raise up the church like never before. And I pray, God, that if you give us 4 more years of Trump, God, that the church will not fall asleep again, but that we will be alive and that we will turn this world upside down once again like the apostles did. Father, we pray right now that you're going to raise up an army that is not ashamed, an army that will go forth in the power of your might, and we're going to change our community. We're going to change our city and our state. Father, we're going to do this because you have called us to do that, and we're going to trust in you, Father. And Father, as far as we're concerned, we choose to serve you. This household desires to serve you. Father, we pray this. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Well, I close with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, and he will give you his peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, let us go forth and make some noise in this world and let them know that God is in control. Amen. Hallelujah.